heart surgery either today, tomorrow. He's having open heart surgery tomorrow. So we want to pray for him also. While you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Gerald. His name is Gerald Cheney. He's a young fellow. He's 50 maybe. He's not that old. He's, I consider that young. 2 Samuel is where we're at. And I love this. I love 2 Samuel. Chapter 9. You know what? If I was a preacher, which I'm not, I could preach 50 sermons on this one chapter. I guarantee you I could. But I don't have the knowledge to be able to draw all this stuff out. It's just so full. But what I want us to see in my feeble mind is the two themes. And that is everything hinges around a covenant. And I want us to look at the theme of kindness. David showing kindness to Mephibosheth is what this chapter is basically about, literally. Now, it's a type of our salvation. We are depraved. God has to come find us. He doesn't go find everybody. It's a limited atonement. He died for those whom he had a covenant with the Father to save. He goes and fetches. We just saw that last week in chapter 9, verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out. That's a type of what God does to the lost sinner. He goes and finds us, quickens us, makes us alive, and brings us into his family. He preserves us. He keeps us. And we're going to read a little bit about that tonight. It ain't just a temporary thing. This covenant is fulfilled. And it's not what I want to get. And I'll say it again. We want to think about everything is hinged around a covenant, a promise that's made between two people, a contract, if you want to say that. And that it's done in kindness. You know, I've done contracts and I've done promises that, man, I gotta go do that. You know, I told him I'd do it. You have too. Don't say you haven't. But you do it kind of grudgingly. You know, I'm obligated to do it. You may contract to borrow $1,000 to pay off I hate to do that. but this theme is about kindness. Jonathan wanted to do it. David didn't sweep it under the rug, this covenant that was made years back. His covenant wasn't made day before yesterday with David and Jonathan. We looked at that. This guy Mephibosheth, he was only 5 years old at the time Jonathan and David loved each other and made a covenant that they would let's read that. Look, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, turn back, and we're kind of refreshing up. They made a covenant, and this boy was only 5 years old. And now, here in chapter 9, he's married and got a kid. So, David, he could have just easily forgot about this covenant. Because Saul's off the picture. His family's not even mentioned anymore. It's not like these Democrats are doing to the Republicans, just hammering them every day over the head. And then David said, well, I guess I better go full. No. Out of kindness and love, he sought out someone in because of Jonathan's sake to show kindness to. And we see that in 1 Samuel 18:3. That's when this boy was 5 years old, keep in mind. And then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. What did I say a covenant was? It was an agreement between two or more people, a promise. So they made a covenant. And over in, turn on over to right over chapter 20, in verse 16, one page over. Chapter 20, in verse 14. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, show me the kindness of the Lord that I, this is Jonathan speaking, that I die not. In other words, just swear to me that you're not going to kill me. not only that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. That's a long time. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, everyone from the face of the earth. In other words, he said, I know the Lord's called you to be king. When you cut them all off, don't forget me. I swear to me, between me and you, you'll take care of my family. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again. He'd already sworn, because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. So there you go. This is what we're talking about. This covenant here. So we read down to verse, well, we'll pick up in 5, when David, you know, he has inquired about, is there anybody left? And Ziba, he was a servant in Saul's house, said, yeah, there's somebody there. So he's present. I know somebody. So in verse 5, when David found out, King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Michal, the son of Amuel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming unto David, he fell on his face, and he did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. We just read about that. And will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he, Mephibosheth, he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Okay, so what we got here, after he had fetched him, in other words, Ziba, the servant, went across the Jordan over there where Mephibosheth was hiding out, and he went and fetched him, and it was under the king's authority. He didn't just go there David, I think, is looking for him. I better go get... No, it was the authority of King David. He said, Ziba, you go get him. So off Ziba goes under the authority of the king, and he brought him back to Jerusalem. So, you know, when God calls, the Holy Spirit will fetch a man, a lost sinner. He will. The mission will be accomplished. It's a limited atonement, but it's a mission that will be accomplished when the king, under his authority, sends the Spirit to go get a lost person. He doesn't go over there and say, would you like for us to come get you? Or, you know, you've got to make up your mind whether you want to come back with me or not. None of that was discussed in these scriptures. It's irresistible grace, folks, and this is a perfect picture of it. He fetched him. And he was come. This irresistible grace, it said in verse 6, he was come. Now when this Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. This poor cripple that was at Lodabar, never supposed that King David would show him any favor, did he? He was lame. He was in Lodabar. There's no pasture over there. He was on the other side of Jordan. He was hid out, so to speak. He never dreamed that David would come seek him. He belonged to a rejected house of Saul. Do you realize that? Now, we fell from the grace of God in Adam. We come from a rejected house too, don't we? We on the run. Our father Adam and our mother Eve, what they do, they go up boldly to God and say, look, we messed up. No, they ran and hid themselves in Genesis. And made themselves fig leaves to cover themselves. So this man, Mephibosheth, he's from a rejected house of Saul. What could he expect? You know, can you imagine seeing that posse coming, or your neighbor running and say, "Look, Mephibosheth, you better get out of here. David's 2 miles from here. He's just checking down there, refreshing their camels or something. He's coming after you." Can you imagine what Mephibosheth is going through his mind? Man, this king is coming after me. He's probably going to take me to the gallows because I'm from a rejected house of Saul. My grandfather had hunted him like a partridge on the mountains. That ain't good. That's not good. Now that this man was hunted like a bird hunting, you know, something so trivial. Besides this, this lameness had made him unfit for court life. He's in dire straits as far as I'm concerned. You can tell that when he does come back to the king's house in Jerusalem. He's trembling. He's scared. His knees are smoking, so to speak, together. He's scared to death. You know, we like, or just like Mephibosheth, and I've mentioned this with Adam, but we are the children of an apostate race, are we not? We are. We all depraved. We have neither beauty nor worth to commend us. We lame on our feet, so to speak. We're no use to God. What can we do for a triune sovereign God? I mean, you think about that for a minute. We don't know anything, can't do anything. We lame on our feet, so to speak. We've transgressed his laws. We've come from Adam. We've been rejected, so to speak. The man said we can class together these two sentences right here. We can put them together. What is thy servant? Now this is Mephibosheth talking. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And then we compare that to this Luke 5:8. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Isn't that a perfect picture of what's said over there in Luke? That man said, "Depart from me. I am so sinful. I can't even be in your presence, Lord. You are so holy and righteous, and I'm nothing." That's what Mephibosheth came about and just pleading for mercy. You know, we need humility and confession of sin. Look at turn over to Luke 15. Chapter 17, Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Yeah, we need to humble ourselves and confess our sins, just like this man did in Luke 15, verse 17. This is the father that had the two sons, remember? And one of them wanted all his goods, and he run off and lived it up. Boy, had a whoopee good time. In verse 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants.'" That man humbled himself there, didn't he? There wasn't nothing proud about him. He confessed his sin and he humbled himself. And that's what we need to do when we face a holy, almighty God. Mephibosheth, he presented himself to David with all the respect that was due his character. Didn't he not? He was just lame on his feet and he fell on his face. He did homage to David. I mean, you look at it right there. Mephibosheth, he knew his condition. He knew who he himself was. He knew he was lame on his feet. He didn't. He did obeisance to David. He bowed himself. He fell on his face in body, expecting deep, expressing deep respect for David. The son of Saul, the rejected Saul, he came unto David, he fell on his face, and he did reverence. And he answered, and David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold, thy servant, it's he. This is one of Jonathan's own that he had been looking for and inquiring about. That's why he said he made that mistake. He made that statement, Mephibosheth. In other words, I found you. This is you, Mephibosheth. And old Mephibosheth answered, God, he'll seek and find his loved one, the ones he has lost. Will he not? He'll do it. He said, I know my sheep, and I call them by name, and they know me, and they follow after me. They will not follow another. And he, just like was Christ called out to Lazarus, Lazarus, arise. He is pinpointing and making this personal. Mephibosheth, he said, yes, sir, it's me. And he said, fear not, Mephibosheth. I'll surely show thee kindness. I'm not going to show you any condemnation. Brother Kelly brought a sermon a couple last month on Romans 8:1, and it's you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation. Wasn't that wonderful for a statement like that to be told to you? To know that there is therefore now, that's referring back to what happened in the previous chapter. Because of what Christ did, not because of your works, not because you are in the family of Saul, so to speak. That has nothing to do with it. John even says that it's not by your will, not by the will of man or the flesh, or it's God that does these things. It's David that's taking care of this thing right now with Mephibosheth. But here in chapter 8, there is therefore now, right this minute, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I tell you what, that is a wonderful thing to know. I tell you what's just the opposite of that is damnation. I don't want to be standing there when the king, there's going to be millions, a whole lot many more millions than there are in glory, that's going to stand before the Almighty Judge, the God of heaven and earth, and he's going to pronounce damnation. That is horrible. We're not talking about for 5 years in the pen, 50 years, eternity. You're damned. Believe here. But here, for the believer, it's a wonderful thing. There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Guess what we're fixing to read about Mephibosheth? He is fixing to be in the king's palace here in Jerusalem, where they got big walls around this thing, and the king himself lives here. He's fixing to be under no condemnation. He's going to be living it up, so to speak. He's going to be under the king, under the king's rule and reign, you might could say. Fear not, he said, David says. I was looking at that in verse 6. Came to David, did reverence. Behold, our servant. Mephibosheth is shook up, I would think. He's coming before the king. He has no idea what's going on. And he thinks damnation is coming his way. Back in those days, when you took over a kingdom, you got rid of all your opposition. I mean, anybody trying to usurp authority, if you thought they were, the sons of the former king, all of them were killed, slaughtered, taken out. Families, everything. The new king didn't want anybody usurping authority on them. And Mephibosheth had enough sense to know who his daddy was, who his grandpa was, Saul. And that's why he's over there hiding in his mama's kinfolk's house. Now he's before the king, and he is trembling, I think. His knees are smoking together, so to speak. He don't know what to expect. He's kind of like those brothers of what? Joseph? Remember we read over in Genesis 50? They scared out of their mind. When they found out who Joseph was, it's a we're done. That's it. There's no we're done. They're barking us. But Joseph, it's kindness. Nope. It's forgiveness. Now, David sees this condition Mephibosheth thinks he's in, because you look right there in verse 7. And David, what did David say? Fear not. Fear not. David observes his countenance. His countenance is probably dejected. He's trembling. He's showing signs of fear that perhaps David's fixing to cut him off or reject him. Well, I tell you what, I'd hate to be in that position. Well, I was, but God saved me. Boy, when the Spirit quickened me and made me alive, I felt just like this. I'm fixing to get rejected. I was headed straight to hell. Judgment was hanging on me. After all, they had fetched him, the king, his authority, the high sheriff come and fetched him out of hiding. It was just the opposite, though, wasn't it? Wasn't it just the opposite when God saved you? He's going to be restored all the land of his grandpa Saul, every bit of it. He didn't even realize the wealth that he had. He'd been hiding over there, so to speak, and didn't even realize he was from royal blood, Jonathan's own son. Plus, it wasn't just David fulfilling a covenant that we read about. He's fixing to eat at the king's table. David didn't have to do that. He did that out of kindness. God, he doesn't have to do what he has promised us, but he's doing it because he loves his people. We're going to spend eternity in glory with him. We're going to be walking on streets that are pure gold. We're going to be eating fruit off of trees that grow year round and just living by the river of life. And it's hard to describe it in words what God is going to be doing for us. You know, some people, they just save me out of the fire. I just pluck me out of the fire. I don't want to go to hell. And that'd be good. They used to have a song that says, Lord, just give me a log cabin in a corner of glory land. You know, I don't want to be. Yeah, just put me out there in the corner in the backwoods. It's not like that, folks. When God saves a sinner, he brings him right up there to the front. We're going to be looking at him. He's going to be in the throne, and we're going to be worshiping him. David here, he gives him a bonus, so to speak. He said, Mephibosheth, I'm doing something for Jonathan, your son, your father's sake. I'm bringing you up here, and I'm going to treat you kind. Not only am I going to do this for you, restore all this land for you, but you fixing to come live with me in my castle, so to speak. I don't know what he lived in, but I'm sure he set him up an apartment there close by David's headquarters. He wasn't fit to be holding an office or anything. He man's a cripple. He's lame on his feet. Oh, that's a terrible thing to be. Pat's sister fell on a bicycle and just fractured her ankle. She was, so to speak, lame on. She could not do nothing for 3 months. Her husband had to pack her around. I mean, when you have trouble with your feet, but if you're lame on your feet, you're out, you're done. There's nothing you can do. I'm sure they may have had a wheelchair or something like that. He might could get around, but he's useless. A man that has no feet is useless. And he's giving this guy a bonus. He said, not only am I being kind to you, but I'm bringing you into my... Are you going to eat? He says, not only will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He didn't just say, okay, I'm giving you all this acreage here. You go out there and start you a garden, and you come on out of hiding, and you're on your own now. No. The Lord does not do that to His people. He takes care of us. He gathers us up. He sustains us. We need Him every day. We're lame on our feet. We adopted into the family. David took this man in and, so to speak, adopted him. Treated him just like his own sons. He said, you're going to sit at my table. And his sons were sitting at his table all the time eating the best there was in the land. Mephibosheth, not only am I giving you land back, you're going to eat at my table continuously. A bonus. Look at 1 Kings chapter 10 right quick. I like that. 1 Kings chapter 10. See what it kind of describes what it is to sit at a king's table. It's one thing to sit around and chew on a sandwich or an old dry loaf of bread or something. But he said, you come into my table and you're going to eat with me continuously. 1 Kings chapter 10. This is when Queen of Sheba is with Solomon, and she's fixing to sit down with Solomon, and he's fixing to feed her. Now this is at king's table, David's son, as a matter of fact. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold, such that he had of the merchantmen and the traffic. And the king, Solomon, made 200, and he made 300. I have messed up. Let's see here if I can. How in the world? What I'm trying to get at is 1 Kings. Is it verse 5? Yeah, I'm sorry, I said 15. It's verse 5. And look here at verse 4. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, he done showed him all this, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She said, it's a true report. You know, Queen she was a queen over a kingdom. But when she saw the way Solomon was arrayed at that table and the way those people waited on him and waited on her, because she's sitting there now. Can you know the grandeur of it? She was just beside herself. Can you imagine me or you sitting there in glory? You can't fathom it. Mephibosheth, there's no telling what he thought when he's sitting at David's table every day. He sustained him every day. He said, "Fear not, man. I'm taking care of you." David was doing all this for Jonathan's sake because of that covenant. That's why he did that. He did it because of a covenant he had made with Jonathan. He loved him as he did his own soul, whom he swore that he would not cut off his kindness from his house forever. And thou shalt eat bread. In other words, he gave him a room. He got him set up, a place at his table. He made him a guest. Boy, now that's special to be a guest of the king. Don't ever think that's not. I've never been a guest to the king, but I have spiritually. God has made us guests. He's made us children. The guest, this guy is being made the guest as long as he should live, not just for the week. Look, you're going to come here and stay here for a week or two, and we're going to feast and have a good time and remember your daddy, and then you're going to go on back to what you're doing. It's forever. It is forever. He's showing this guy favor. No strings attached. You notice that? He didn't say, look, you got to do this, this, and this. like it was a conditional covenant. This is an unconditional covenant. No strings attached. This was a great favor and a high honor that he's putting on this man. This was God, a God-like kindness, a type of our preservation for eternity. It's for eternity, folks. David did more than just give him a favor. He took him in to be part of his family. And we, same way, we've been adopted. We didn't make but what, two verses tonight, but that's all right. We'll continue on this next week. I enjoy reading about David and his kindness that he gave to Mephibosheth. Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed.